You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hi, Dad. This is Emmy
and James
wishing you a happy Father's Day. We love you.
Hey, Dad. Happy Father's Day. This is Jude and Jack. Love you. Yeah. Happy Father's Day to all those dads out there.
Hello, Father.
Especially the Washingtonian dads.
Happy Father's Day, Daddy. I'm really excited to go golfing with you. Happy Father's Day to all those Washingtonian dads. Goodbye.
Serving Washingtonians.
And now, here's your Pine Valley shanking, cop shop watering hole shopping, brats and sauerkraut chomping, wetting the line daddies, Ryan and Paul.
The Wausau Business Show.
You know I got it. Come and get it. Who's your daddy? Who's your baby? Who's your buddy?
This is our weekend to shine.
I love it.
Father's Day.
All right. Episode number 73. Here we go.
Let's go.
Well, Ryan, I'm up here in the Wausau Business Show Chopper looking at traffic. We've got, once again, a big backup on 39 northbound and southbound. So stay off that if you can find a side route instead.
It's still going on.
Yes, there's a lot of construction this time of year. I always say there's two seasons
here we go.
In Wisconsin traffic.
Uh-huh.
And one is winter and the other is construction season.
Oh, right.
So
okay.
I do have a sense of humor, see?
That Larry really gives a thorough traffic report, man.
He really is a talented traffic reporter, part-time traffic reporter for the Wausau Business Show and the Wausau Business Show Traffic Chopper.
Yes, when he's not chiropracting. He goes way up there. I think he's the pilot, too. Yeah. I think he does it all.
Very talented.
Yeah.
Well, Night Market hit it out of the park again this past Thursday.
Place was packed. I mean, there had to be thousands, if not tens of thousands of people there.
Favorite, I don't think, Wausau fires on all cylinders during Night Market.
Yeah, it was crazy. I ran into a bunch of people I knew, a ton of people I obviously didn't know, and really cool vendors and stalls, and the restaurants were popping. Everything was happening.
So nice job, River District.
Yeah,
on that,
putting that on.
God, there's only two more.
It's the coolest event I think Wausau puts on, and they only do three a year.
If you ask me whether or not I'd go to the 400 block on a Wednesday night,
right,
or the Thursday night,
night market. Yeah,
it'd be a hard decision.
Yeah, I they're both cool. We're lucky to have both of them right here in downtown Wausau.
Summer Shindig is today, Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. There's like 10 hours of music.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts.
Live music on the square. It's going to be awesome.
And congrats to our friends at Weinbrenner in Marshfield. They opened up their new like 90,000 square foot facility that they've been building for since we interviewed them.
They had a ribbon cutting and everything. I was lucky enough to check it out. It's a beautiful building in Marshfield, so good for them.
Yeah, Thorogood. The mayor was there, gave a nice speech, and some guy said this.
Thorogood has and always will be America's workman. And I'll be damned if I ever put on a pair of brunts.
He's very loyal to his Thoroughgoods, which I love. Yes,
absolutely.
Yes. He's never going to put another one of those competitor boots on.
It's one of those brands that I think a lot of their customers are very loyal.
One of the most iconic boots in America.
Yep.
Made right there in Marshfield, right here in central Wisconsin.
You think work boots, you think Thoroughgood. Let's be honest.
And on this Father's Day weekend, who do we got coming on? Paul, who's our guest of honor this Father's Day weekend?
Chad Franson from Channel 7.
Love him. He's bringing the sunshine.
Yeah.
And in honor of interviewing Chad Franson this weekend, Paul and I have grown our goatees out.
Yes, we have. In honor of Chad.
But Chad's got some awesome stuff he's going to be talking about. The weather, Central Wisconsin Television 7-9, the saga with Melissa Langben. Let's get into that a little bit.
Absolutely. We'll have to bring that up.
Chad has been working in this market as a weather professional for well over 20 years now.
Yeah, I think it's 28 years. We'll ask him, but something like that.
Very excited to talk to him about his career at Channel 7 and Channel 9.
Right. He started there.
And he is a dad.
So
it's appropriate.
Good weekend.
Happy Father's Day weekend, everybody.
Yep, you bet.
It's the number one small talk topic to talk about.
Ever.
In the history of mankind.
Yes, ever. I think they've been doing it for millennials.
This is the caveman. What's the weather going to be tomorrow?
I mean, when you get into an elevator, someone's going to bring up the weather.
It's a beautiful day out there, isn't it?
Rain and cats and dogs. Yeah, can you believe it? Well, yeah, it's climate. We've been on Earth for a long time. I can believe that it's raining once in a while.
So Chad is going to give us the history of humanity when he comes in through the lens of Wausau weather.
Yes.
All right, so we'll be right back with Chad Franzen from Channel 7. I think he might be taking over for Mark Holly as chief meteorologist now that Mark's gone into sales. I don't know. We'll see.
Seems like the obvious fit. We'll see.
We'll be right back on Father's Day weekend with Dad, Chad Franzen.
That's nice.
On the Wausau
Business Show. Hang on. Ooh, baby.
What does it take to run a successful business? It takes incredible courage to start at the beginning, incredible grit to achieve success, incredible determination to sustain results, and incredible perseverance to leave a legacy. But most importantly, it takes an incredible local partner dedicated to helping you achieve your goals. At Incredible Bank, we are that partner. Let us help your business do the incredible. Incredible Bank, member FDIC.
Black hole sun, won't you come wash away the rain? Black hole sun, won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come?
I was just talking to my friend of almost 30 years in the broadcast business, and he's now selling drugs.
Oh,
but he does podcasts, and he does a podcast with Chevy Chase called Fletch Lives.
Okay.
And so if you're a fan of Chevy Chase and Fletch movies, he still talks to him, but he hasn't talked to him in like a year because Chevy ghosted him.
Oh, no.
But he said that he's like, hey, podcasting, you'll enjoy it. And I said, I don't think I've ever done one before.
Oh, well, welcome. Okay, good. Welcome, Chad Franzen. Welcome to the podcast. Chad Franzen, everybody. Welcome. Yeah. So this is your first podcast?
First podcast.
Oh, well, we've got Chevy Chase on the line here. Chevy, can you
give us some pointers?
Yeah. Well, where did you grow up, Chad?
I grew up out west. I was born in South Dakota and went to high school in Montana. And then I went to school back in South Dakota and Mississippi and just kind of landed back here in central Wisconsin 28 years ago.
And that because of Channel 7?
Because of Channel 9 at that time.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The dreaded competitor.
So you've been on both stations.
I've been on both.
Well, so has Tony Schumacher.
Tony's been on both. Yep. Justin's been on both. Yeah. Our weekend meteorologist, Jeremy's been on both. We now have Eric Rotek working with us.
Yes. Welcome back, Eric.
So there's some cross-pollination that happens. And here's a little secret for you. My very first job offer from a broadcast professional that's getting ready to retire up in Rhinelander at Channel 12 called me and offered me my first TV job.
WJFW. Yeah.
And his initials, offered me the job, and the pay was very low, as you can imagine.
Sure.
And so I turned it down, and it was a couple weeks later, I got called from Channel 9 for a few dollars. And I was like, hey, I guess this is kind of what the business does. So I better take a job and get out of here.
You're in the big markets now in Wausau versus Rhinelander.
And were you already in Wausau at that time, or did that land you in Wausau?
That landed me here.
Okay.
So I was at graduate school down in Mississippi, and I'm not a deep South person. I just went there for a couple of years, get my master's, and that was it. So
what part of Mississippi?
Starkville, Mississippi State.
All right. Okay.
And so I was ready to get the heck out of there. And so I never had been to Wisconsin before. The Franzen family tree kind of started out in the Price County area.
Right.
So there's always this family familiarity in the Franzen circus. I was related to them as well.
Cool.
So I knew about Wisconsin, but had never been here before. So I was driving up from Mississippi, just happy to be done with the deep South.
Yeah.
And I'm driving into Wausau. Now, keep in mind, this is a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah.
Rib Mountain wasn't what Rib Mountain is these days. And so I'm pulling into town.
It was like, much larger.
Oh, yeah.
No, what do you mean by that?
I was like,
the town of Rib Mountain?
Yeah. I mean,
okay.
I'm pulling into town. There's nothing out there.
It's
Walmart. And that was it.
State Park Speedway.
I'm crying at that point because not that Starkville, Mississippi was really big, but I had come from Billings, Montana, which is pretty good size. Yeah. I had spent summers in Denver, and here I'm driving into Rib Mountain, and I'm just, there's no one here.
And you thought that was Wausau.
I thought that was Wausau.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And thankfully, I was staying at a hotel downtown, and I got into downtown. The mall was here and everything, and I was like, okay, I could breathe.
It's there's a little more happening.
There's a city, and then you run into Quick Trip, and there's like, oh, now we're a big time city because we got eight of those. You know?
Yeah, finally. We're legit. We have a Quick Trip.
So it was eye-opening, but at the same time, it was great.
It's funny that you mentioned that because we've been up at the chalet overhearing, you know, guests or people that, tourists that come to Wausau.
Out-of-towners.
You know, people from Chicago, and there was like this 22-year-old kid last winter, and he's like, man, I thought this was a ski town, but it's actually just a Walmart town because he had only seen Rib Mountain, you know.
They never leave that corridor. They don't even know, like, we're downtown right now. They don't even know this exists, half these people.
Yeah, we got to
get
that's
a shame.
And they also don't know how to say it either.
Right.
I mean, you're from Warsaw. Yeah, Warsaw is another one. Yeah. It's like, okay, well, we got at least the start of this, and hopefully we'll just kind of expand on that and make it a little easier for you guys. Wausau.
So this was your first weather gig?
Yep, first weather gig.
Oh, wow.
When I was getting ready to graduate from college, my first college, I wanted to work at the National Weather Service. And at that time, the Weather Service falls under various departments and governments, right?
Yeah.
DOC, Department of Commerce, had gotten a huge notice to cut back. Now, this is back in the 90s. And the National Weather Service took about 33% pay cut at that time.
Mm.
So all my job opportunities were gone.
Just dried up. Okay.
And so my father was like, hey, maybe you should continue on education. You like teaching. My dad was a teacher for almost 50 years. And I was like, yeah, I'll go to Mississippi State and I'll be a teacher. And that school specializes in broadcasting.
Okay.
Our former chief meteorologist that now works in sales, Mark Holly, went there.
Mark. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Nice to see you. So there was this track that the graduate school is really made for television.
Yeah.
And so I was actually teaching off-campus classes as I was on campus. So a lot of my off-campus students were people that worked at the Weather Channel. A lot of Mississippi State off-campus students are the big time networks.
Wow.
So here I'm a little lowly kid trying to teach these kids about weather.
Meteorology.
Meteorology.
Okay.
And so I'm on campus and getting grilled and everything else. And I'm teaching off campus. Now, this is, again, 25 years ago. This is before online stuff really existed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I tell you, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done, especially the first couple of times, because if the student isn't doing well, and a lot of times, again, you're talking to some big time network people and they have big time egos.
Yep.
And if you didn't grade them right, they were calling and they were, oh, you're never going to work in this business.
Oh,
and so you kind of got a little scared, a little ruffled.
Yeah.
And the program director's like, don't let them fool you. You are the teacher, and they stood behind us. And so we had a lot of my last class is one of the last classes that taught most of the off-campus stuff to the network.
So you were teaching like Al Roker?
Not Al Roker, but a lot of Weather Channel people. A lot of them not there anymore just because Weather Channel's, once you're over the age of 40, they just kind of push you to the side.
Oh, they do. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So there's some turnover there. So I had some pretty big names, not Al Roker and not Tom Skilling. Those guys were
WGN.
Yes. Tom Skilling is a true meteorologist. And little known fact is when I worked in Rockford for a couple of years down there in television, met Tom Skilling at Fermilab. He had a conference every year. He knew exactly who I was. He goes, Chad Franzen. I'm like, you know me, a tiny little WREX Rockford television?
Right.
He goes, no, you used to work in Wausau. He has a cabin up at Tomahawk.
Oh, no kidding.
At least used to. So he was seeing me on the weekends and actually knew my name and could put the name with the face. And so I was like, holy smokes, Tom Skilling,
the nicest
guy in the world.
Oh, wow.
And he was, like, I think, the first six-figure meteorologist in television.
In the industry. Right. Oh, so you have a good history of the industry itself, right?
You get to know someone like that. Now, I could never name drop or anything else and make it work to my advantage. But yeah, he was the real deal, super nice guy. And then the off-campus people I talked had taught, some of them are still in the business, but now they're, you know, I'm an old man. I'm 50 plus.
And you don't look it. Congratulations.
Good for you.
A lot of makeup. So these people are all, you know, 50-some, 60 years old. And obviously they're getting ready to retire. A lot of them have retired or gone on to different careers.
Yeah.
Not a lot of my broadcast class. We had 25 of us. and I'm one of five that's still doing television 20 plus years.
I would imagine there's a lot of turnover, a lot of moving around and everything else.
And people just don't make it some of the time, I would imagine.
And it's a hard business. You know, it really is. And everybody's business is hard, right?
Yeah.
You know, you guys come into work and not every day is smelly roses that are great.
Putting out fires everywhere we go.
Yeah.
Today's a good example.
You guys are doing the part right.
No, it's a well-oiled machine, Chad.
Well, and that's just it. So if you guys can go into work every day, if someone goes into work every day and has that smile on their face and they're like, I'm here to do my work and I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
You stay in it.
Well, you seem like a very positive guy.
You have to be. In my younger, old days where I was first in television and I was in a 4x3 square instead of the rectangles that make us look even fatter.
Yeah.
You know, HD.
Oh, yeah.
I was in force. I was in square
16 TV. 16x9 versus the 7x3 or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah. So back in the 4x3 days, the square,
4x3,
when I looked much better, I think, because I wasn't a stretched out rectangle. I wasn't a kid that was a hothead, but it was, man, you know, anybody had a comment, I wanted to just let them go.
Because
people will just email, call, social media.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's got to just be
vicious.
I hate you. You're terrible.
Right.
It's supposed to be sunny today, jerk. Oh,
yeah. Every time.
Yeah.
And we cover 21 counties, so good luck.
Yeah.
And so I got to the point where that hurt. I mean, that, you know, I'd have kids come in for tours and say, what's the hardest part of your day? And I was like, dealing with the public.
Yeah.
Because people hate you for just doing what you do.
Right.
And so that was the maturity factor of, now I was lucky that I went to graduate school. So when I came out in the broadcast industry, we have some kids that started under 21. I was already 24
because
I'd gone to grad school.
Yeah.
But it took me a few years to mature. And then you start realizing that life is not going to be very fun for you if you're a negative person. And this business that I work in, if you're a negative person, it's going to eat you alive.
Oh my God. The scrutiny is unbelievable because it's different than sports where you're just reporting what happened or the news where you're reporting. You're forecasting what's about to happen, predicting what's going to happen. And people are making plans around that.
Yep.
And they're emotional about weather.
Farmers,
you know,
I would imagine farmers, they're investing their time. It has to do with dollars and cents.
Their livelihood depends on the weather.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's got to be tough.
And so farmers, and now I'm a board member for WASA Events. So this call tonight with having to push things indoors, that's a stress that I've helped endure over the last couple of years as I've gotten to know the WASA Events more as I've been on the board.
Yeah.
Making that call to not be on the 400 block. Last week, we had a tornado warning that came through before the event.
Yeah, before.
But it's like, you're not going to get anybody back out there because you still have to set up. So we move it indoors just because no one's going to show up and go sit in the rain when it's 58 degrees.
Yeah,
right?
We always are. We got to put a plug in. We like what you did when you moved the date to the back end to move it to September instead of just moving it somewhere else for, you know, in the Schofield Pavilion, because then it impacts all the businesses downtown that don't have that revenue.
And that's just it. Like you guys know, it's not just, well, there's no concert. There's everything leading up to it, right?
Right.
It's economic impact.
Yeah.
We have food trucks every week.
Right.
We have to cancel them. Or if we're having a food truck, even tonight going to the pavilion, people are going to have to be willing to want to stay out there and stand in the rain.
Right.
The food vendors are great about it because a lot of them will have some overhangs and stuff.
Yeah.
But last week we had storms around and tornado warning. So that was not going to be an option.
Yeah. Yep.
But if you're making these decisions based on weather and you're doing it in advance, you can't do it the same day. You've got to do it in advance because you have to notify vendors. Police department.
Yeah.
You know, we employ the police department to walk the 400 block.
Yeah.
So there's all
shutting
these
things. Shutting down roads, everything.
Roads. And so you're doing all these things and all these vendors. Tesla's a part of it now. They bring a car in so people can drive one.
Cool.
We have all these things going on. So it's not just canceling the concert. It's a snowball.
Yeah.
And so the executive director and our board president start making those calls and start kind of shutting things down. And last year, there was a couple of times where the threat from lightning, I was like, I don't think we should do this. And we move it indoors. And then at 7 o'clock, it's sunny and beautiful out.
And people are like, what the heck?
Yeah. What did you guys do?
Yeah.
Right. Well, again, it takes a couple hours to set up.
Yeah.
You're not going to be out there in lightning. Lightning is the most deadly killer there is of all the natural hazards. So you don't want to be out there in that.
Yep.
And so it's a tough thing. And you take it on the chin. And so that's a PR nightmare that over the last 10, 20 years, I'm okay to take that.
Right.
I'll fight that. I'll take that.
Right.
Thankless job kind of though in the public's view.
It is because at the end of the day, it's like, I understand weather affects everybody, but at the end of the day, you can only control what you can control, right?
Yeah.
I don't have that magic wand.
You're doing your absolute best, the best you could possibly do. Yeah. You know?
And some days are better than others.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then the other aspect of it is we cover in weather, we're covering 20 counties. from all the way to the UP,
right,
down toward Madison, Eau Claire to Green Bay. That's our viewing market.
Big area. Huge.
And so we understand that a lot of people live in Marathon, Wood, and Portage counties. That's our more populated area.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like you have to give service to the Northwoods. You have to give service to Southern Wisconsin.
Well, and what was the curve that you taught us about last year or something? It was the prediction curve of.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so how modeling works in computer forecasting is it's kind of a leapfrog effect. And so if you predict day one, and think of it as a frog jumping and you want it to jump on a straight line.
Yeah.
So if you forecast day one and the frog jumps and it's straight, that's great. Because day two, you feel pretty good about. Mm-hmm. Day two happens and you're getting that straight line. It's what happens when the modeling is off a little bit and then it becomes astronomical. It's an exponential curve.
Okay.
If you want to do all the math.
Yeah.
So if the frog is jumping and says day one tomorrow, let's say tomorrow is 70 degrees and partly sunny and the frog jumps, but then all of a sudden tomorrow is 80 and sunny. Now the frog's not in a straight line. It's off.
Mm-hmm.
Day two behind that is going to get worse. It's going to be more off because you've already started down that path.
Yeah.
And so that's how it kind of works for forecasting and modeling. As much as we have all these great tools and things have changed so much in 20 some years I've been doing this, the more you overtake it, it's an old line. The more you overtake the plumbing, the worse it can get. That's exactly what can happen with computer modeling is if day one is off, day two is probably off and day three gets really bad.
Yeah.
And then now your 7-day forecast is very suspect.
So what do you do? Throw it out at that point and kind of start over?
You look at, so you're relying on your knowledge and your education, your experience. There's several models kind of choose from and you kind of look at the reality of it. The first thing you got to learn to do when you're forecasting is what's happening right now. There are times when I'm doing a morning show and I don't want to go outside because it's 4 o'clock in the morning and see what's happening. And there are times where I'm on the air and I'm like, rain's moving in later today. And it's been raining for a half hour because I did not do the due diligence to see what's going on right now. So that's what you have to know. What's happening right now? What computer model picked that up and showed that? And if it did, then you feel pretty good about the forecasting.
Got it.
Yesterday to today, the forecast was pretty consistent with the amount of rain we were going to see in the afternoon. And this going back to the 400 block and how we were probably going to have to cancel or push indoors is because the modeling yesterday was very consistent with a very soggy afternoon. We may see a break in some of the rain action winding down after 6 o'clock, but no one's
breaking into the weatherman mode.
Yeah, I love it.
But nobody wants to go sit out there in the rain and be miserable.
And it's going to be in the 50s.
And it's only, we're going to set probably a record low maximum temperature today, which is the lowest high temperature of the day for this period of record of 100 and some years.
Yeah. For 100 years, it hasn't been this cold.
58 degrees, 1974 was the coldest day high we had on today.
Okay.
So I don't know if we'll get back to that today. So we're probably going to set a record in that regard.
So this is an unusual, we're in the middle of June right now.
Yeah.
It should be 78 and sunny.
Oh, you would hope so.
Yeah.
So what do you look at though? I mean, I know you have all the models, but then don't you just call somebody up from Minneapolis and hey, what's it going to be? What's it like over there?
What's headed our way?
Yeah. That's called family.
Okay.
And there are certain ones I take text messages from and there's other ones that get the do not
blocked. How far west do you go and how far out do you look to see what's coming?
In the old days, that's how it was forecasting.
Yeah.
When I go do school talks and we talk about the good old days and not the 1900s, you go back to the 1800s when telegraph started and the westward expansion happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the genesis of forecasting. They would get telegrams from, let's say, St. Louis to the East Coast saying, we just had really bad weather here. And then they would notice a couple days later that weather would move there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so that kind of started things. So in the old days before internet and stuff like that, you did kind of call. You had phone numbers. You can call the thermometer sticks at the airports and you could call and get their information.
Yeah.
Nowadays with internet, it's just cheap, easy, and free.
Right, right.
But so you do start looking upstream. On Monday night, I was looking upstream for Tuesday to decide when the rain was going to come in yesterday.
Yeah.
And was it going to be a potential for thunderstorms?
And when you say upstream, you mean up jet stream, right?
Correct.
And does the majority of our weather, I'm going to geek out a little bit.
Yeah, let's geek out.
Like, does the majority of our weather come like from the southwest up, or does it come from the northwest up, or just is this, because it's not a straight linear line.
Very, very rarely do we get what's called zonal flow, which is true west to east across this part of the country.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
In the summertime, it's usually a southwest. In the wintertime, it's usually northwest. And,
okay.
And that's because of how cold it can get, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
If in the wintertime, a cold front comes through with the snowfall, it could get arctically cold.
Yeah.
Weather Alberta pattern. Clippers.
Yes. The Alberta Clippers. See, you guys.
What a geek.
I'm bringing my key card in. You guys just go to work.
Can we give it a try?
Just push the button.
Just get a green screen in here.
Yeah. You guys easily could.
Yeah.
So right now, typically we would have like a southwesterly wind flow at the different levels of the atmosphere.
Yeah.
But we don't. We have a northwest. That's okay. Why it's so much cooler.
Yeah.
And so we're trapped in this kind of cool, clammy pattern. We saw this coming about a week ago and that it wasn't going to move anytime soon. And this is the time of year you want that sweaty heat, right?
Yeah.
We had a very wet April. May was the complete opposite. Crops get out in the field. And now all of a sudden it's like, I need sweaty heat. And it's not there.
How long does it take for that jet stream to move, you know?
This time of year, it can be very stable. So 7, 10 days, 14 days.
Okay. While we're talking about it, I might as well bring up the barometer.
Go ahead.
Who's got the extra aches and pains today? Raise your hand.
So low pressure causes aches and pains. That's true. Among people?
Rapid changes usually cause that.
Okay.
And then extremely low can really affect people that are really in tune with weather. Like today, the low pressure system is deepening pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So we're getting pressure falls. So your body's starting to experience that. I don't normally have a lot of back problems, but today my back decided to have back spasms. So I went and looked at the pressure fall map and I was like, yeah, I can see why that's happening.
Okay.
So people that have other ailments or are sore shoulders and stuff, your body's really in tune with the weather, and those kind of rapid pressure falls can really bring in those extra aches and pains.
Will it bloat me up, or does it not? Does it just impact the muscles,
joints, or
the
whatever?
Joints.
Yeah.
Joints. It really depends.
I'm looking pretty bloated today.
I was gonna say,
I always had that problem.
Must be the pressure, the barometric pressure.
I carry my winter weight year round, so
we need a 4x3 screen.
We'll just shave it off in post. Yeah. After we're done, let's cut that.
Take care of it in post. Yeah, yeah. But how far out does the barometer forecast?
So what you're doing when you're looking at a true computer model, there's two ways of doing it. There's one called MOS, which is model output statistics. It's actually a printout of numbers. And this is one thing that I did for my parents when they were trying to learn how to forecast weather, and I do it in schools, is I'll show them the old way of modeling, which is all the blurs and the colors and all the blobs moving.
Yeah.
Those you're looking at pressure maps, and you're looking, that's what you're watching when you're doing forecasting. Pressure falls, pressure rises, and everything between. Then there's a thing called MOS, model output statistics, that puts it on a piece of paper with numbers. And it's a very cheap and easy way of doing a forecast. Not the most accurate, but for someone that doesn't know anything about weather, you can usually show them in about 5 minutes,
get in the ball,
how easy it is to get close.
Yeah.
Now that doesn't bring in rain chances and some other things, but.
But if the barometric pressure is falling, how quickly will it get colder?
So it usually kind of follows along with it. So our pressure fall starts as the front rolls through.
Okay.
So the temperatures will continue to fall until we get to a wind shift.
Okay.
And right now, even though we're going to stay in a northwest wind, so today we're going to shift to a northwest wind, which is a cooler wind. Mm-hmm. We'll stay that way the next 3 days, but we are going to warm up. And the reason for that is we're going to get sunshine. So if we didn't have any sunshine tomorrow, Friday or Saturday, that northwest wind, and if we stayed cloudy, I would say the temperature would be the same as today.
Okay. Wow.
It's only because we're going to get some sunshine that will warm up that extra 10 degrees.
God, that's the difference. The sun. God bless the sun.
Thank God for the sun.
I meant to ask, what's a black hole sun?
Oh, yeah, is that a thing? Just a song.
Just one of those that sucks in the other one.
Okay. It's a black hole with a sun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it now. But Chad, you were saying you worked in Rockford too for a little bit? And then you came back to Wausau. So you left Wausau, moved to Rockford, and then came back?
Yep.
When was that?
So our industry is based on contracts, and you guys work with contracts, right?
Sure.
Ours are employment contracts.
Okay.
As I always say, these aren't the Jordan Love $60 million year contract.
Yet. Not yet.
Someday, but not for us. Yeah. So we're usually signing a 1 or 2 or 3 year deal.
Okay.
And so people have a tendency to fall in love with their favorite television person that comes to town. And usually without fail, after about 2 years, they disappear because this is a beginner's market.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so for most people, they have a 2 year contract.
Okay.
Some have a little longer than that.
Yep.
When I was at 9, the aforementioned Tony Schumacher wasn't going anywhere at that time. And I really kind of wanted to be a chief meteorologist. I'd been on mornings a long time.
Yeah.
The year that Justin Lowe became available, I called him up and I was like, hey, come work for us at Channel 9 so I can get off mornings. And so he became our morning person, and I went to weekends for half a year to get some severe weather experience.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rockford at that time was the sister station to the old ownership of Channel 9. Okay. So it was an easy move for me in that regard. I'm not going to say a lot of great things about Rockford, but I can tell you I got there and I was there exactly 2 years and left.
Yeah. Well, now they have a new Hard Rock Casino, I noticed.
Yeah, they have a big casino now.
That used to be the Clock Tower Resort.
Right. Yeah.
When I got to Rockford, this is, so we're talking 2006 and 7. And Rockford at that time went through some really bad growing problems because Hamilton Sunstrand, the manufacturer that built space shuttle parts, space shuttle program had been canceled.
Yeah.
And so that Hamilton Sunstrand was this big plant that took up city blocks. It was huge, massive. Yeah. And so the unemployment rate shot up real high. And so right away, I was kind of living in a decent area. And I don't know how many break-ins I had because the unemployment rate had gone up so high.
Everybody were looking out.
Yeah. There's a lot of trouble going on. Yeah. And so that kind of really soured me on Rockford pretty quick. The general manager at Channel 7, had we had played paddleball and racquetball against each other over the years. He called me out of the blue and said, hey, I'm going to have a morning opening. Would you consider coming back? I was like, well, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
And he goes, I want you to come back. We're going to do it. We'll meet. We'll talk contract and everything else. We met at the old stage shop, which is now Gorski's. And he purposely told me to wear nothing nice and wear a hat because he didn't want anybody knowing I was coming back to town.
Yeah.
Now, that's a good ego feed. But at the reality of it is that you leave the market and nobody knows who the heck you are.
I heard that they missed you a lot, Chad.
So I heard that.
Yeah. So I was at 9 for 6 years. I went to Rockford for 2. And I've been at Channel 7 20 years this May.
Congrats. Wow. And as of today, or a few weeks ago, you were promoted to chief meteorologist.
We're still looking for a chief.
So interim.
Interim. Well, between Jeremy and I, we're Rochamboning half of the week until we find someone. So Mark Holly. Mark Holly's a family guy.
Yep.
And working in television, you are one of two shifts usually. You're 2 a.m. to 1 p.m. or you're 1 p.m. to 12 a.m.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that's hard with two boys.
Yeah.
My joke with Mark, and I still say to this day, is he was a kicker in football.
Yeah.
And I played offensive line through college. And I always say to him every single time, kickers are not real football players. They're real people, but not real football players. Because they're a kicker. All they do is just go kick the ball.
Okay. All right. Settle down. Everybody settle down.
Yeah. And so
I love you, Chris Jackie.
So to this day, I still joke with him about that. I was like,
you bust his chops.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Can't let him off easy. So we're in the process of looking.
You put your name in the hat, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah. I think we're all kind of in the hat.
Yeah.
There's three of us there, Jeremy and I. Jeremy, I think, is going on 20 years this year and maybe next year.
Man, what a tough decision. I mean, which way is the wind blowing on this?
Oh, I think the wind is circling.
Pardon the pun.
I think at this point, because we have a lot of, so you guys, we always talk about digital this, right?
Yeah, right.
Digital world.
Yeah.
My job has really been over the last several years is developing our digital plan, working with apps and stuff like that.
I remember you saying that. Yeah.
So digitally, we're doing more things on our live streaming and more things outside of traditional TV. And that's kind of been my focus and probably where I will continue to go down that path.
Okay. Yeah.
Facebook and their algorithms.
Well, I mean, you personally, not only for the station, but you personally have a hell of a social media following. I think you have, what is it, 40,000 or something?
Pretty close there. Yeah. Probably about 50 with TikTok now.
Wow.
So my TikTok account was really just all my dogs. And so fluffy dogs, you can't go wrong with.
People love them. It's great for the algorithm.
Yep. Is it like a doodle? One of those doodles?
I got 3 golden retrievers.
There you go. Awesome. Okay. Yeah.
And so that works well for TikTok. Well, a couple months ago, I started doing weather on my account and then the station account, and it started kind of growing. And so I developed a mantra with us doing quick weather hits on it. We're not necessarily doing a lot of live stuff unless weather warrants it. Mm-hmm. But like when severe weather happens, at the end of the day, going live on social media platforms will rank behind going on air on television because
everybody
comes back.
Yeah,
right.
So as much as the broadcast television community and viewership is starting to shrink a little bit, severe weather will always completely flip it back the other way.
Yeah.
What we did the last couple of weeks with severe weather, I'm 99% sure our viewership was probably double or triple what it normally is.
I mean, I was tuning in. And so speaking of that, during something like a tornado warning like we had an actual warning like we had last week, is that pretty stressful for you?
Very much.
Yeah. Okay. So you're like, it's stressful for all of us, I think.
Yes. And so my wife calls it the weather Woody. Oh, I'm so excited. No, I'm not excited about this.
Yeah.
And the Ringle tornado. So I live out in Weston building a new house in Ringle.
Oh, wow.
So I'm on the air texting my wife, and she knows when I send 911, she's got to go to the basement.
Yeah.
And she went through the Merrill tornado years ago, watched it, and she was close to it. And I didn't know her then. Otherwise, she would have got the lecture.
Yeah.
My mom now lives in town. In the last two severe weather events with these tornado warnings, I'm on the air texting my wife, my daughter, and my mom, 911, get to the basement.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what's going on behind the scenes because I'm on air.
Yeah.
But I'm texting as I'm talking. I'm like, 911.
Well, you're freaking out and trying to maintain your composure because it's so personal for you at that point.
It's personal for you, and tens of thousands of people are also relying on you at that same moment.
It's wild. Very much so. Yeah. And then so the Ringle one, Jeremy and Mark were still handling the coverage. I had signed off and I took our photographer and I went chasing Town Line Road. Oh. And we caught the backside of the tornado that became the EF3 that hit Ringle.
Yeah.
And then we tried to go down all the different roads off of N. And then eventually you get to N and Q. There's a big tree across the road there. And conveniently, I was able to go down Q, which is where I'm starting to build a new house.
Jeez.
And so we could get there and see that that part wasn't hit. Mm-hmm. But then when we worked our way back toward Riverside Elementary, it's a total help out job, right?
Oh.
When you're storm chasing, you chase because the National Weather Service relies on your information because radar doesn't see what's happening right above the ground.
Right.
Because of how radar works. So
sometimes the radar will say that there's a tornado when there's actually not, and vice versa.
Last Wednesday is a great example of it. Yeah. Tornado warned storm because what radar saw.
Yeah.
Radar beams about 8,000 to 10,000 feet in the air by the time it gets above Wausau.
Yeah.
Tornadoes don't happen 10,000 feet down. They happen in the last couple thousand, especially in this part. And so you need those chasers to give you that information. So that's why chasers are out there.
Who's qualified to be? Obviously you are, but who, like, can I go out chasing?
Yeah, absolutely.
So
in the old days, Weather Service come over and give you classes. Now they're all online because of what happened during COVID. So they just push everything to online. And you learn about how storm structure happens, pendants, and there's all these fancy terms for when, if you're calling in, you don't say a tornado on the ground necessarily. If you're trying not to alert a lot of people, you may call the pendant, you may call the spin up, but eventually you will call a tornado on the ground. That's what happened in the Ringle storm by Evergreen down by Cronenwetter. That was eventually reported over the air as a tornado. We have a chat system that we get this information from. But as a storm spotter, you just really have to go through the courses and then understand the fact that you may go out storm chasing 1,000 times. You may be very lucky to get something once.
Wow.
It's like musky fishing.
And it's not a tornado necessarily.
Yeah.
And then you also have to keep in mind, it's a very stressful thing. What happened in the Ringle tornado is once I started watching the circulation west of Mosinee. So we're all starting to talk about this big circulation.
Mm-hmm.
Once we heard about 4:43 in the afternoon that there was a tornado on the ground by Cronenwetter, it ups the game.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, we're already wall to wall, but now you're up in the game because now you're staying on that storm and you're not leaving it.
Right. Wall to wall in the sense that you're on the air as long as it takes.
As long as it takes. Yeah. First on, last off.
Yeah.
And we will do that for any tornado warned storm in our huge viewing area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I know that sucks for some people because
sometimes it's during a Packer game.
Yep.
Yeah. How many tornadoes have you seen with your own eyes in your life?
A couple dozen.
No kidding.
I storm chased a lot when I was at Mississippi because I was a graduate student.
Yeah.
And so you're taking a whopping 12 credits at that point. So you have a lot of time on your hands.
Yeah.
So I was chasing more there. When I got to Channel 9, I went storm chasing on a tornado down in Juneau County. And then I was new in the business. I didn't realize that I'm kind of getting outside of our viewing area. We're getting to the fringe area.
Yeah.
But I remember I went speeding through the city of Marshfield. City of Marshfield has the main drag that is 25 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I'm a young buck storm chaser with a magnetic thing on the door saying I'm a storm chaser.
Yeah.
I've got my CB radio because this is old school. I've got my flashers on and I go tearing through the town. City of Marshfield pulls me over on the south side of town and he'd been following me for a while and I thought he was kind of escorting me.
Yeah.
Because I thought maybe he knew what I was doing.
Oh, good. He's on my team.
I was like, great. He's giving me an escort. I'm through. Nope. Son, where are you going? I was like, there's a tornado right down. And I got the lecture. He let me off, but he's like, do not ever drive through my city this fast ever again.
Yeah.
And I avoided Marshall for like years because I was afraid he was going to find me.
Fascinating. Good to know. Well, this is amazing how positive you are, Chad. I love that. I've always kind of known that about you, but also how passionate you are about your industry and your line of work. You know, most people are curmudgeons by your age.
Well, and some of them are. And some days I am, you know. But it's one of those things. If you can go into a job every day and you've got that smile on your face, even if that first thing that you experience when you go in may knock you down a peg, you still bounce back. And if I've learned anything in just being old is life is much more fun if you're not a curmudgeon.
Yeah.
If you have a positive outlook on life, you will find that life is going to be a lot more fun for you, in my opinion.
And when it's sunny.
And when it's sunny.
That helps too.
And that's part of the genesis of why I had my made up words. Suntastic, suntabulous, yeah. Awesome-tastic. I have all these made up words to try to spin things. But it's like, if you can present things in a positive way, it reflects well on your business. It reflects on you. And it also shows that there are times where you do have a bad day.
Yeah.
And if you can motor through it, splash the makeup on and that camera goes on and the lights go on. If I can turn that frown upside down in that period of time and help someone out that is watching, that is learning about weather. When I'm doing weather, someone's learning. You're educating the public.
Right.
It's not, you're not telling them weather, you're educating them.
I agree. Yeah.
And so if I could do that on a daily basis, I always wanted to be a teacher in my eyes. You are a teacher.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
It's just all the other minutia and stuff behind the scenes that can be a little different at times.
All the politics. Yeah.
Yes.
Did you think that you were going to be a meteorological professor?
I thought that was going to be my option.
Okay. Did he say that right, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Nailed it. Nailed it.
Thanks.
Long story short. So I went to school in South Dakota School of Mines. It is an engineering marvel school. This is big time engineering in small town Rapid City, South Dakota. Okay. Top 10 engineering in the country for mining, metallurgical, all these different engineers. So I was going to be electrical engineer.
Oh, okay.
My brother was electrical engineer. I was 2 years behind him. I was playing football with him. I was getting bigger than him. So I was kicking his butt on the field and I was having fun with it. And then I got into the classes and I was like, wow, this engineering stuff is brutal.
Yeah.
There's only two other majors at South Dakota School of Mines, and I wanted to keep playing football. One is meteorology. The other one is paleontology.
No. What's paleontology? Is that the study of dinosaurs?
Yeah, sure is.
Yeah. Wow, Paul.
So
that sounds fun.
So I went and watched a professor in the bottom of K-Tech Radio Hall. I was also doing radio upstairs at K-Tech Radio at Rapid City. In the basement was the paleontology department. I watched the guy dust a bone for a full 8-hour day. Same bone with the big old nerdy thing.
Yeah.
And took his break. And I was like,
no thanks.
I go into my advisor and I'm like, I don't know what the hell this meteorology thing is, but I'm doing it.
Sign me up. Yeah.
And then it's like, well, that's the study of weather. And I was like, wait a second here. I've always been fascinated with weather.
Sure.
I grew up in Montana hiking in the mountains where I'd start out at sunny and 80 and it'd be snowing on me at the end of the day. I loved it.
It's fascinating.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's like, well, this isn't so bad.
Yeah.
Now here's the joke. The joke on me is that bone that they were dusting off for all these years is sitting down at Chicago Natural Museum of History. Yeah. It is Tyrannosaurus Rex Sioux.
It
was the most famous Tyrannosaurus Rex, I think, to this day.
Is that a fact?
It is a fact.
Okay.
She has her own Twitter handle.
Yeah.
And she sits right in the main area.
I don't mean is it a fact that there's a dinosaur down there in the museum called Sioux.
Okay, you know. Okay.
But is it a fact that the bone that was being dusted?
That bone went down there?
That was the whole project of South Dakota Tech for several years.
Oh, okay.
It was controversial on how they got the dinosaur because it came off Native American reservation land.
Oh, okay.
And so there was a bad exchange there. And I don't remember the politics. I just know that was kind of a black eye. The university wasn't taking the black eye. It was a black eye on how it got there.
Okay.
But that's what they were doing is they were excavating Tyrannosaurus Rex Sioux.
That was one of the most famous bones in the history of the world boring. Yeah.
But I mean, it took me like 20 years to figure that out.
No,
I still chose better because I mean, testing a bone for 8 hours. I mean, it really was.
I wonder what that bone duster is doing today.
Probably part of the fossil.
Yeah, right.
Up there.
So you're married. You have a daughter.
Yep.
How old's your daughter?
She is 18. Just graduated Everest.
Awesome.
We just did a Titan Up Day at UWO yesterday. So she'll be going there and studying criminal justice on her way to pre-law.
Oh, very cool.
She originally wanted to be a DJ. About 6-7 years ago, and we had a little discussion about media and broadcasting.
Oh, she wanted to be like an on-the-air DJ?
Yeah, so we had a little discussion.
What format?
She wanted to go work at the guys here in town.
At Midwest?
Yeah. And I was like...
That pays less than WJFW.
Yeah, that was the discussion we had. And so I just kind of laid into her. And then after about the year of trying to be a social media influencer and a DJ on TikTok,
gotta go
she figured it out.
Phases, yeah.
She figured it out.
You got to be syndicated.
I was like, probably made the right decision at the end of the day.
Made the right decision. I was like, one in media is enough.
It's not all cracked up to be, folks.
Now, she's got the look for it. I mean, she is drop-dead gorgeous.
Oh,
and so she was a TV person. Like, I'm a face for radio kind of guy. Like, if she was
welcome
doing
to the
I
club.
Doing, yeah. If she was doing what I was doing, man, ratings off the chart. Yeah. And then I'd be like, okay, you're never going to be able to retire doing this job. And mom and dad won't be able to retire doing this job because you're not going to ever make enough money.
Speaking of ratings, do your ratings, does it work in news, like local news, where your overall ratings are different than your segment for your weather forecast ratings?
Yeah, it can be broken out. Okay. So in the old
quarter
days.
Quarter hour, or how do they do
it? Yeah, it's every 15 minutes now, depending on if it's ComScore or Nielsen. Those are the big ones. In the old days, you had diaries they would send you. And in fact, they still do some diary work where you'll get contacted from ComScore or Nielsen, and they'll say, hey, you can help shape the future of your programming.
Yeah.
Please watch for this month and watch and write down what you're watching.
Here's $5.
$5. When I did it at Mississippi State, I got paid $1 and I thought it was a cat's meow. I just made $1. Yeah. And I remember writing down that I really liked the Spider-Man cartoon at that time. So I wrote down, I watched Spider-Man cartoon for 4 weeks straight.
Yeah.
And it still got canceled. I can't believe it. But it's,
tried.
Yeah, so you get the ratings on it. They're not really a secret. They're kind of a secret, but they're not. I mean, we kind of know where we are.
Your ratings, especially after Melissa Langben left and that whole debacle, I would imagine that ratings for Channel 7 went up, and after Tony Schumacher got off the air. But Tony retired twice.
That's why
brought him back.
But you guys must be killing it now, right?
We're up there.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't looked at the ratings in probably the last 3 or 4 months.
Okay.
We definitely saw an upturn. And so there was a former general manager at Channel 9, Lauren Jorstad, hired me, had Melissa, had Eric. And he always said that a lot of times in this area, in this television market, people matter, but not so much in the ratings department. But the few that you do get that, hold on to them.
Yeah.
So there's been a few times in this market over the last 20 years I've been here where I've seen ratings. A lot of times people leave after being here for a long time and the ratings don't blip a whole lot.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That last debacle of what they went through, they changed.
Yeah. When Melissa and Eric got canned.
And they got rid of, you know, doing weekends. And so that's a broadcast model that ownership group tried. And it took them a while, several months, but then they figured it out. Probably not going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they didn't only do it here. They
I know.
In 25 markets.
Byron Allen.
Yeah.
My good friend, Byron.
And so I reached out to all everyone down there that I knew still. And I'm like, it's a special place in my heart. I started there. That was my first TV job.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I feel for you guys. There's not anything I probably can do, but if I can do anything for you guys, please let me know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have non-competes and contracts. Right, so there's not a lot I could do, but if I could financially help you in a short period of time, if I could put calls in for you, if you need to get to a different market,
references,
I was offering to do anything I could because that to me is the worst thing you could have done. And so I had a lot of friends affected by it, not just here, but in their other markets.
Yeah.
And even to this day, big media companies are still consolidating. People are still losing their jobs.
Yeah.
And it's a hard pill to swallow.
It is. And it's wild because Byron Allen's situation, we kind of researched it.
Yeah.
And it was more along the lines of the rest of their business wasn't doing well.
Yeah.
And they decided to just can a bunch of people in another part of their business to make up for it.
Yeah.
And Melissa Langben and all those people were the
victims
byproduct.
Of that.
And it was a big percent of their workforce. You know, they had done a little cut the year before. My friend from Rockford was the news director in Madison at that time at the Allen Media Group. And she had just gotten through the WBA awards. And the next day she had to go in and inform part of her staff that some were going to be let go. Ugh. And that was the small blip that they had done.
Yeah.
And so it's hard. And in like any business, if things aren't going great, bad things are going to happen. And it's not anybody's fault. It's just the downturn of what was happening. And in my opinion only, I think that was a huge mistake.
For sure.
Because you took local away from these television stations.
Legends. Exactly. And like you were saying, Lauren Jorstad, these were Melissa Langben, obviously. I mean, she was a staple of the community.
Very much so.
And 30 plus years in the real community.
Sad thing. But glad to see that Eric Morotek is back.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Eric.
His wit. So I've obviously known Eric for a long time, and he has its dry, sarcastic wit. He works with a lot of youngsters in our newsroom.
Yeah.
And so when we get him going, he is a lot of fun to watch because he can just light up the day. He can light up that newsroom. And I think he's only been back working with us now for maybe a year and a half.
Okay.
But he can light up that newsroom when these young reporters are coming in and maybe had a bad day out in the field or are struggling with their story.
Yeah.
He just has a way to make that work for them.
Oh, that is phenomenal.
And he could just turn it on. Eric's a great guy. I'm happy that I've known him so long and I'm happy that he works with us.
What do you do for fun?
When I get the time for it.
Golf, I'm assuming? You got a bunch of tees on your shirt there.
I call it golf. Okay. Like anybody else, I go hit a ball around and I cuss a little bit and I go chase it.
Yeah.
My three dogs take most of my time. Nieces and nephews playing softball and baseball. So I like traveling with them. You know, I think a lot of what I'm doing now is just trying to enjoy life. And now I'm going to be an empty nester.
Yeah. So that's going to be weird.
That's going to be very weird.
She'll be at Oshkosh.
Very quiet.
Yeah. Far enough away to not come home every weekend.
But close enough. Yeah.
Exactly.
I think that's a good... well, you must find time to go out to dinner. What's your favorite restaurant in Wausau?
I think Red Lobster is definitely the one that I like to go to.
Well done.
At least you didn't say Hooters or something dumb like that.
I tell you, your guys' stuff with that. And when you finally got their corporate... I forgot the guy's name.
The CEO,
And I thought, man, oh man, he's got to, you know,
he's
I know they weren't in the financial position of kind of expanding, right? But I'm like, that's got to take notice. Something's got to happen here.
Oh yeah, we're still trying to get him on the horn.
Yeah. We're gonna get him to come to Wausau probably.
Yeah.
So. You guys get him to come to Wausau and I will give him a tour of the TV station. We'll have him cut promos for the local Red Lobster that they're going to put in here.
You got it, pal. You got it.
I love it.
You know, we always blame you for the bad weather, but we're going to start giving you credit for the better weather. Okay.
Yeah, it's got to go both ways.
Summer's coming around, right?
Yeah. There's only so many times you could just say, you know, that friends have got this thing wrong. And I'll tell you, there are some times where I wake up in the morning and I'm like, boy, if this doesn't rain today, I'm really going to take this one on the chin.
Yeah.
You can't argue and complain about something that's free.
Right.
And I'm then giving you a free forecast. Yeah. I'm giving you the future here, folks.
Yeah. If you're paying $10 on an app, go complain to them. Otherwise, my stuff's free. Our app's free.
What is the best app on the iPhone for weather, in your opinion, aside from the Channel 7?
Yeah. So a lot of the weather apps, and there's every single one. Like I have Weather Puppy on my phone.
Okay.
I don't use it a lot, but it is kind of cool because it's about puppies. Yeah. But as far as all those apps go, they're all just ripping and reading what's coming out of a model somewhere.
Okay.
That's why, whether you choose us or another local television station or radio station, there's human interaction going into that to change that. I'm going to spend a half hour today changing our forecast.
Personal calculations.
Knowing the climatology and how things work. That's why I always say, yes, I want you all to use mine. But at the end of the day, if you use a local sourced weather app, it should be more accurate than any of the normal ones you would get.
And who's the best forecaster of weather out there, statistically speaking?
Well, Chad Franzen.
Okay. All right. I knew it.
Not the Farmer's Almanac.
Not the Farmer's Almanac.
Okay.
Farmer's Almanac for the last 5-6 years kept saying snowier and colder than normal conditions for the last several winters. They finally got one right in the last 6 years, this last winter.
What is that? Is that just guesses or what is the Farmer's Almanac?
It's a secret formula.
Okay.
And it goes back to the 1800s, and I believe they stopped doing the print version of it now, but they will still do their long-term prognostications. I have people that say, well, the Farmer's Almanac said it was going to do this, and I'm like, hey, more power to you.
Sure.
But if the Farmer's Almanac's wrong, don't come to me and complain. And then the other thing is, Farmer's Almanac is a weekly thing. It's not today, tonight, tomorrow. They'll give you a region and, like, let's say central Wisconsin, and they'll say the week of June 15th to 22nd, it is expected to be plentiful rainfall and cloudy conditions. They give these broad brush generic things.
Yeah. It's like 6 or 12 months ahead of time, right?
Yeah. Yes, very much so. So it is what it is.
Hey, before you get out of here, I noticed you have a green bracelet on your left wrist. What does that stand for?
So this is a Donate Life, Donate WIDA. My father was a kidney recipient many, many years ago, and I'm probably going to tear up.
Uh-oh.
And so it was actually the day of the Anago flood back in 2004. My dad had been going through dialysis, and his health had been waning because of it.
Mm-hmm.
I got done doing flooding coverage at the other station in town, and I got back to the station. I got a call from my mom, and she was crying. My father had gotten kidney from a donor.
Mm.
And I promised him at that time and anybody else that I would do anything I could to make sure people registered to become organ donors. And so I'm tearing up today because my dad made it 15 years with a cadaver kidney and it was quality of life.
Wow.
Because if you've never seen anybody with kidney failure, that soda can that you're having there, they can't have that. They get shaved ice. That's it. You can't have any liquids if you're a kidney recipient.
No.
Or if you're a kidney patient, because you can't process any liquid.
Yeah.
And so I always promised my dad that would carry this. And then even in my wallet, I have a card that I wrote out, probably not legally binding, that said, if I died, one of my kidneys had to go to my father. And I always made sure my mom knew about it and my wife knew about it. My dad passed about 6 years ago, but I got 15 years of quality life after 5 years of him being on dialysis.
What's his name?
John.
John, my dad too.
And so it's one of those things, donate life. There's so many people in this state even that need organs and various things, and you can't take those with you. And so if you have never registered to become an organ donor, I would strongly suggest that you do it. Mine happens to be a green wristband, which is also the color of my weather wall. So if my jacket jacket pulls up a little bit, it looks like my hand's detached from my body.
So you've had that on for a long time.
Interesting.
Yeah, this is the second one in about 20 years.
Your dad was a teacher. What did he teach?
Math.
Oh, math.
So Apple did not fall far from the tree.
Yeah, that's where you get
math and science.
Their IQ from. Absolutely. Okay.
And
your mom moved to town after your father passed away? Yep. Is that what happened?
Yeah. Or? So he passed away in the COVID era, and I couldn't leave my mom in South Dakota by herself. She had family in a different part of the state.
Yeah.
And it was my brother in Minneapolis, or she's coming here. Mm-hmm. My brother had thought about leaving Minneapolis. So I'm like, you're moving here. So I moved her here with me. She doesn't live with me. She's got her own house and everything. But I moved her here to let her enjoy her life. So she gets the grand puppies.
That's awesome. The granddaughter too.
And she gets the granddaughter. Yeah. And so I try to keep her as busy as I can. And
your brother's an electrical engineer, you said?
No. So my brother went electrical engineering, went into the Navy, became a nuclear engineer.
Oh, geez.
Got his MBA.
He went nuclear.
What does he think about Iran?
Yeah. He's got like 6 degrees, and he's the lead Seagate hard drive designer in Bloomington, Minnesota.
Wow.
Cool.
So when the parents saw the kids and what they're doing, I was single and young and dumb, and I still am, but I'm not single anymore. I was that way into my almost my 40s. My brother was established with 3 kids, and he is a project designer and got paid this much. Jeez. And I was down here.
Yeah.
And my parents are like, oh, that's a little bit of a skew there. It's a little different.
Hey, I'm what's going on?
Yeah, he's making 6 figures a year, and I'm lucky if I'm making 20,000 right. after 10 years.
WJFW. All right. Yeah. Wow. That is something. What, he builds hard drives, you said?
He helps design so hard drive technology is old.
Yeah.
Flash drives are kind of the new things. Yeah. So he's trying to design a way to get more media into smaller footprints and not have the issue with heat. Heat's like the big thing with hard drives melting down is the heat issue.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So he's tried things with like diamonds, diamond heads, and different ways of having the laser write the binary to make it so that they can do that and make them faster.
And he doesn't work at the university. He works at a private company.
He works for Seagate hard drives.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And Seagate hard drives, I believe, is one of only 2 left in the entire world. The hard drive industry consolidated a lot, and they ate up the smaller ones, and they just kind of bought them.
Well, your brother would be able to answer this question, but I wonder, I don't remember the term for the concept, but every 7 years, it doubles the speed of a hard drive and the size get cuts in half.
Or yeah, it sounds about right. I forgot what the term
is. There's a term for that. But anyway, and how'd you meet your wife?
Dart tournament.
Cool. That's a good way.
That's what my former life was.
If Arrow I Club in Merton or where?
Yeah, Merrill. I was throwing at darts. It was all aboard a tournament that happens every year for Easter. And we just started talking and we became best friends for a while.
Yeah.
Cool. And then we started dating.
Who's better at darts?
She is by far.
Okay.
Oh, good answer, Chad.
On that note, we won't get you in trouble. All right. Chad Franzen, everybody. Thanks for stopping by, Chad.
Thanks for coming
Thanks
by,
for
Chad.
Having, guys.
It's been a real pleasure.
Anytime.
What's the forecast for tomorrow before I get out of here?
Saturday 73, Sunday 70, few showers.
Oh. Perfect.
Chad Franzen, Channel 7. Maybe chief meteorologist, potentially.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Thanks, Chad.
listening to the Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul.
The Wausau Business Show.
Dedicated to Wausaunians from Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
In a landscape carved by billion-year-old glaciers sits a community rich with history and opportunity. A base camp to the outdoors and the Northwoods, where miles of rivers tempt paddlers and the fresh scent of pine fills the air on every trail. A base camp to theater, to the arts, experience through the color of diverse festivals, farm to table and craft beverages. A community that prides itself on Midwest nice and knows how to four season better than any other. Wisconsin's base camp. Visit Wausau.
Hi, I'm Jude.
And I'm Jack.
And you're listening to our dad, Ryan.
And this is James.
And I'm Emmy.
And you're listening to our dad, Paul.
Mom. And the.
No, you say the.
Okay.
The.
Wausau Business Show!
The Wausau Business Show.
Father of mine, tell me where did you go? Yeah, you had the world inside your hand, but you did not seem to know.
This is the High Protein Wausau Business Show. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
Thank you for listening, Paul. Appreciate you listening.
Right back at you, buddy.
Who do we got coming up on the show next week?
Next week, we're hoping for Marissa Meyer.
Oh, Marissa yes. Meyer. Is it Meyer or Mayor?
I don't know. If she were the mayor of Wausau, it could be Mayor.
So until next week, from high atop Rib Mountain, I am Father Ryan.
And I am Father Paul. That sounds weird.
But we are not priests.
We are not members of the clergy, however.
But happy Father's Day, everybody.
Yeah.
This has been a Wausau Business Show transmission. The end!
A child arrived just the other day. Came to the world in the usual way. But there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. He was talking for a minute, and as he grew, he said, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you.
This has been a Wausau Business Show transmission. All rights reserved. 2026.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.